Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you. The 15th Amendment of the Constitution prohibits federal and state governments from denying a citizen the right to vote based on that citizen's race or color or previous condition of servitude. But all but about a dozen states maintain some type of law limiting voting rights based on mental competence. Now, things have changed, though, in California. As of January 1st, a new state law makes it easier for people with mental disabilities to regain their right to vote. Yet not everyone who falls under this category may know that they have these new rights. On Tuesday, the Spectrum Institute, which is a nonprofit in Los Angeles, filed a complaint with the Justice Department asking that the state of California make an effort to notify people who are newly eligible to vote under the law before Election Day in November. Michael Waterstone is the dean of Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about potentially people with Down syndrome, with autism, cerebral palsy, other disabilities. How exactly do you lose the right to vote?
Here in California and in a lot of other states, the way it had been handled up until this law being passed in January of this year is when someone got under a conservatorship, part of what typically happened in that proceeding is the right to vote could be taken away without a lot of thought or analysis into the fact that that was actually happening.
This is if somebody is appointed by the court to be a guardian, in other words. If that process takes place, you can lose the right to vote.
Correct. And oftentimes people were losing their rights to vote along with that.
So does California's law just include fewer people? Does it grant new voting rights to more people who otherwise would have been denied them?
It tightens up and clarifies what happens in these conservatorship proceedings. Makes clear in a way that was not clear before that everyone is presumed competent to vote. You don't get that vote taken away unless the court finds by clear and convincing evidence that you cannot communicate that you want to vote. You're allowed what we call reasonable accommodation or assistance with either technology, the assistance of another person. So it really sets a much higher bar for courts to take the right to vote away as part of these proceedings.
And do we have any sense of how much smaller the universe gets under this new law of people who could have the right to vote taken away based on incompetence?
Certainly in the tens of thousands. I don't think we have precise numbers yet.
Michael Waterstone, there is a case of a man named David Rector who is about 66 or 67 years old. He's a former NPR producer, as a matter of fact, who doesn't have a developmental disability, but a traumatic brain injury that's compromised him intellectually, I take it. He was ruled by a judge ineligible to vote. How did that happen?
Well, it was part of his conservatorship proceeding. It just kind of got stripped away along with several other things. So I think it really demonstrates that if you're doing these things in broad brush without thinking very carefully about the right to vote, which is a fundamental right, that you can make mistakes. And that's a real problem. And it's great that this new law addresses this moving forward.
Are other states moving to liberalize their laws in this regard the way California has done?
California is certainly out in front. We are seeing some movement. It's just a huge problem. I mean, states still have laws on the books saying things as awful as idiots can't vote. This is a population that when we think about people with intellectual, psychosocial, mental, or even physical disabilities face when they're trying to vote, it's a real problem, and it's great that it's getting more attention.
And are you satisfied as one lawyer or as a person who teaches lawyers to be that the California standard of the person being able to express a desire to vote is an accurate indicator or proxy of whether they are in fact competent to vote or should have the right to do so?
I am very comfortable and supportive of this new standard, but it's going to raise some feathers in the sense that people think, well, how do we know that this person really understands what's going on in the election? How do we feel confident they're going to make a reasoned determination on the right candidate? How do we know that anybody is making a reasoned determination on the right candidate? When you look at voting patterns, people vote on all kinds of things that are nonsensical. When we enlarge the universe of people that can vote to include people with disabilities, our whole democracy benefits.
So the deadline to register to vote in California is coming up. It's October 24th, and now the key test is notification.
Correct, and creating a mechanism whereby people can go to either their conservators or go directly to the court and let the court know that if they have had their voting rights taken away, that they are able, with or without assistance, to communicate their desire to vote, and they do wish to do so.
Michael Waterstone is dean of the Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us.
Todd, thanks so much for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.